You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast. I want to thank you for making it part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday. This is the Wednesday show, and I'm John Corrales of the Raining Jays. I cover the Celtics for MassLive.com, and I am here solo to walk through the Kevin Durant injury and then some of Adrian Wojnarowski on the ESPN mock draft show said some interesting things about the Celtics and their offseason, what they might be thinking. And then later on, Jason Tatum had a little interesting appearance on the Jeff Goodman podcast. So I'll touch on that before we wrap up the show. Want to direct your attention as we begin here to the Locked On NBA podcast. Now, normally this Wednesday, I would be co-hosting the Locked On NBA podcast as well. But the network is now undergoing its mock draft. Now until the draft, we are all going through picks 1 through 30 and holding a mock draft and trades in which, I talked a little bit about this before, but in which, for me, I did the Celtics draft. I traded for Anthony Davis, which we'll talk about later on here. The deal was Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, the 14th pick, Robert Williams, the 14th pick, and the Memphis pick in exchange for Anthony Davis. The 20th pick was Tyler Hero of Kentucky, and the 22nd pick, I had a wild kind of sign and trade with Terry Rozier that went to Phoenix for a flyer on Josh Jackson. I've explained all this before, but that's all coming up on the Locked On Mock Draft. It's the local experts in every draft room, trades, expert player breakdowns from SI.com's Jeremy Wu. Plus, Josh Lloyd gives the fantasy breakdown from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Desk. It's all on Locked On NBA all week long, so be sure to subscribe to that and us on the Himalaya podcast app. That is free, easy to use, and it comes with expert podcast tastemakers, which I didn't know were a thing, but Himalaya's got them, and by your interest can create a feed of podcasts that you may be interested in. So check that out. Subscribe to Locked On Celtics or Locked On NBA. Of course, you can subscribe wherever podcasts exist, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. You can always ask your smart device in your car or at home to play podcast Locked On Celtics or Locked On NBA or whatever Locked On podcast you may want to choose. There's a Locked On Red Sox. There's a Locked On Patriots as well. So go ahead and check those out as well. So in game five of the NBA Finals, Kevin Durant went down with what appears to be a ruptured Achilles. Now, that's not the official diagnosis, but everybody with a video, you know, with Twitter and the ability to watch video can see the injury as it happened. It doesn't look good. They said after the game that it was an Achilles injury. They didn't say the extent, but it's pretty obvious what happened. And maybe we'll get good news and Durant will not have a ruptured Achilles. It might be something else. I don't have confidence in that. I think he suffered this injury. And first and foremost, that we hope that he has a fast recovery, a full recovery, and he can return to being Kevin Durant, best basketball player in the world, or a second best or third best, however you want to rank him. That being said, it is what it is. It's an injury that can change the entire shape of free agency. And if it really is what we think it is, and it's a ruptured Achilles, then we have to wonder, because the NBA moves forward. It sucks that we have to have these conversations, but the NBA moves forward and free agency will happen. And the Boston Celtics are going to be heavily impacted by this injury and what it could mean. What does Kyrie Irving do after this injury? What does Kyrie Irving do? What decision does he make? Think about this from the beginning here. Kevin Durant's the first domino to fall. He, at healthy, would either go to New York, would either go to the Clippers, would either stay in Golden State. Unsure. We all know what the signs say. We all know how everything was pointing. But Durant was going to be the guy that kicked things off. Him and Kawhi. Let's be Kawhi too. But unless Kawhi surprised anybody, there's two places that he's going to go, it seems. The Clippers or stay in Toronto. Unless he surprises somebody, it's Durant that kind of has the ability to reshape the NBA. Because if he goes to the Knicks and Kyrie Irving decides to join him, well, now they've got a hell of a team in New York just with those two guys. And they become one of the favorites. And Boston gets hurt, and who knows how they react. Do they even bother to trade for Anthony Davis? That's something we'll talk about later. But if Kevin Durant doesn't get the same offers that he was going to get, if he doesn't get the full max, then what does he do? Now, I've heard people reacting today, Tuesday, that, yeah, you still give him the full max, which, sure, I guess you can do if you want to burn a whole year paying a guy $30 million to sit there and then hope he comes back and that 30 whatever million dollars he's going to make with the raise in the second year, I hope he can live up to that, because it takes almost a full year to come back from that injury. So Durant will come back maybe when that team, if it's the Knicks, maybe they don't even make the playoffs. If they get Kyrie, maybe they do, but the rest of that team's not great. So if they miss the regular season and he doesn't come back, then he's got a summer to play basketball and then come back and test his foot, his ankle, his leg. What if he's not what he used to be? You're going to take that chance as the Knicks? Or are you going to pull back and you're going to say, well, we'll try to get what we get and then add you later? I don't know. It's very difficult for a team to just pass and then keep that cap room open. They might still, but that there's really two options here. You throw the money out there and hope he signs and hope he recovers. Okay, fine. Or he re-ups, he opts in and sticks with the Warriors, when obviously he wouldn't be rehabbing with the Warriors. He'd just be taking their money and rehabbing on his own, with his own people, with his own team. That's basically how it would go. I mean, I assume he'd check in from time to time, but he wouldn't have to. He'd just be doing his thing, recovering wherever he recovers. So if a team, if the Knicks, if whomever gives him a contract, step two is getting another player to say, okay, I'm going to go to this team and spend a year not winning, or not winning as much, for the possibility that I'm going to play with Durant next year and that Durant's going to be what he was. Now he'll come back and be very good. Is he going to be one of the top three players on the planet? I mean, chances are good that he's going to be. He can get back to an all-star level, but I don't know. Who knows? That question is really at the heart of what Kyrie Irving is going to decide. Does he go to New York and play with, you know, Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina and whatever they throw out there? If they keep everything, you play with RJ Barrett and you get another young guy next to you, doesn't know what he's doing. Is that appealing to Kyrie Irving, having gone through what he just went through? I don't know. Maybe not. Does he go to Brooklyn, knowing that Kevin Durant's not going to join him there? Does he go to Brooklyn and hope they trade for Anthony Davis? Brooklyn doesn't have really the right package for Anthony Davis. All of these options, playing with one of his guys, all of a sudden, it seems very, very unlikely to happen if it's not in Boston next year with Anthony Davis. It's unlikely to happen for another season until the 2020-21 season. So I don't want to jump into Kyrie's head. I don't know what he's going to choose, but all of a sudden, the choice is a lot more difficult. He could always just go home and play for Brooklyn or play for New York and just be close to home. And if he does that without Anthony Davis, without Kevin Durant, then we know that he just wanted to go home. But all of a sudden, I feel like getting Anthony Davis becomes more important because there's no plan B. There's no, screw it, I'll just go play with KD somewhere. If the Celtics get Anthony Davis and Kyrie comes back, now you've got yourself a contender because you'll have, in our scenario, Jaylen Brown sticks around. You'll have Hayward coming back and hopefully being somewhere close to his former self. You'll have Al Horford, who will undoubtedly, in that scenario, restructure his contract, stay long-term, and be part of this thing. You become a team that can challenge the Milwaukee Bucks and that can challenge the Toronto Raptors if they keep Kawhi, because you've got players now. You've got studs at a lot of different positions, and you've got two players who are in the top 10, top 15 in the NBA. So when we come back, I'll talk about how the mood seems to be shifting with Kyrie Irving. But I'm really, really interested in what Kevin Durant does and how players react, and then how teams react. Because Kevin Durant, even if he goes to a team and signs long term, I'm really curious to see if big names, if Kyrie will still go and basically burn a year of his prime playing with a bad team or a mediocre team or a team that's just not good enough. However good they get, still not good enough. I don't know that he'll want to do that. And another thing before I take a break, one possibility that has come up, and we talked to Jay about it, we talked the 1+1 to see how things work out with Anthony Davis, and then if they don't, you can just bounce. After watching a guy like Durant rupture an Achilles, well, you know, if it's officially a ruptured Achilles, but after watching that, man, you have to wonder, like, is it worth it? Is it worth having that uncertainty? That 4 or 5 year deal, man, that certainty of getting paid for that long after watching somebody go down like that, boy, that really seems like enticing. It would be to me. I don't know. I'm not in that position, but it would be to me if I had to, you know, watch a guy, his whole career change, the whole league potentially changing on this, and you just want to have those years under your belt because you know you never know what can happen. you know? And if Kyrie, I know that I don't think he's injury prone. I don't know what that knee really is. Seems like it's okay. But if he's got any sort of fear, I know they kind of, they didn't do much on back-to-backs. They held him out. They made sure to preserve him. So if there's any sort of issue, if there's any sort of thing in the back of his head, this could be the thing that makes him say, you know what? I'll just take my 5 years. I'll suck it up. It's not New York. I'm not as close to home, but I'm close enough. It's very easy to get from Boston to New York or New Jersey. It's very easy. And under a nearly $200 million deal, you can get private jets to go basically everywhere you want. Not a problem. Maybe he says, you know what? I'm just going to stick around. I'm going to do this. We're going to see this through. Come back. Put last year behind us. Me and AD, we've got the support. We know what we've got in the front office. We know what we've got with the coaching. Let's just do it. It just feels like it's a little bit more possible. Now, again, I'm going to take a break now. We'll see, because Woj on ESPN right now, it makes me think that it's not possible. But we'll talk about that when I come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to say that there's momentum. It feels like the momentum is saying that Kyrie Irving is leaving Boston. I don't think that momentum is something that's real, that exists, because what you're really hearing is one or two reports and then the amplification of those one or two reports that you hear on every podcast. And now it just becomes part of the throwaway language that it feels like Kyrie is leaving Boston. So blah, blah, blah. And you hear it. And I listen to a lot of podcasts and you just hear how casually that's thrown around because that's how it feels. You hear Woj say things like he did on the ESPN mock draft thing. They did a quick first round half hour show and he threw out things that everything was geared towards Boston not getting Kyrie back, and saying that Boston might have to abandon its pursuit of Anthony Davis if Kyrie doesn't come back. And if Kyrie Irving leaves, then they may turn their attention to trading for Mike Conley, or they don't want to have three rookies on their team next year, so they might package those picks and move up, all in preparation of Kyrie Irving leaving. So Woj says it, and everybody trusts Woj. Shams Charania of The Athletic says it. You know, the Celtics are aggressively pursuing, but still give pause. You hear those guys say it. You hear maybe some other rumors here and there, and then everybody starts to get that feeling like, whoa, maybe he is gone. So now you go on Twitter, and everybody says, oh, screw it, he's gone. Forget it. Book it. He's gone. And he might be. He very well might be. But a lot of what you're hearing is an echo. This is definitely echo chamber at work, because people are amplifying a couple of reports and they get bounced around and everybody feels like an expert and everybody wants to say, oh, Kyrie's gone because blah, blah, blah. They heard this, they heard that. Well, maybe he is. And in the first segment, I kind of question whether he really is. I'm very curious to see what happens now with Woj's reporting, his tone, the tenor of his Celtics reporting. Because if the Durant injury does have an impact, like I laid out in the first segment, you'll start to hear some reporting that says Celtics are feeling a little more confident or something like that. So I'm just curious to see if that happens, if that turns around, if that the tone of things turns around. If he doesn't come back, then it really does start to feel like the Celtics may not go after Anthony Davis, which is wild, because we just spent so many months of the Celtics. We spent so much of the first part of this calendar year, the Celtics desperately trying to convince the Pelicans, do not trade Anthony Davis, because we will top any offer for Anthony Davis. That was the whole thing, that the Celtics were, they felt good about getting Kyrie back, but they knew getting Anthony Davis was going to be what got him back. And Danny Ainge is just telling the Pelicans, don't do anything. Just wait. And they waited, and now their whole front office got made over. And now the Celtics might be like, yeah, never mind. Which, it's still going to work out fine for the Pelicans. They've already got Zion, so they're not screwed. They'll just have to take a different deal that gets them a different group of young players and a different draft pick. It'll all probably work out in their favor. So I don't think they're going to be crying over it. But if they like Jason Tatum, if they like that Memphis pick, then they might not be as happy. But anyway, if the Celtics lose out on Kyrie and they just decide, you know what, forget it. We're not going for it. Then what do they do? In the draft, maybe they do make those picks, or maybe they start to package those picks and 14, 20, and 22, some combination of those moves them up to the top 10. Maybe you get up to 10. Maybe you get up a little bit higher. The level of talent after the third pick, it's a matter of what teams value. And so there's not... You can get a similarly talented guy at 14 than you can at 10, unless you personally have a guy in that range, in that number 10 range, that you say, no, this is the guy that we need to get. So it's a matter of personal preference and what the scouting department does and what the front office values. So if Kyrie leaves and they don't get Anthony Davis, the draft becomes an interesting thing. If he does leave and they do get Anthony Davis, I'm curious to see if they make that run for Mike Conley. Woj seemed to make it think like the move for Conley could be the no AD, no Kyrie plan. But I'm not sure how that would work, because you would still give up either you don't believe that Gordon Hayward is going to come back as healthy as you thought he might, or I think he might. If you don't believe in Gordon Hayward's ability to return, and then sure, trade him for Conley. But I just don't know that bringing in a guy that has spent 12 years in the league, he's going to be 32 coming into the season, which I feel like he's been in the league so long that maybe he was a little bit older. But with the injuries and everything, I just don't know that bringing him in is, what does that do for the team? And who do you move for him? You don't want to move too much. I assume it would have to be Gordon Hayward, right? Like that just seems like the way it would. I don't see giving up Smart, or like, you don't give up Marcus Smart and Tatum or Brown for Conley. Like, that's ridiculous. What are you trying to do there? What kind of team are you trying to build around 32-year-old Mike Conley, who has a not great past when it comes to injuries? So I would assume that Conley would be the backup in this scenario to Kyrie leaving, and you still want an all-star level point guard for Anthony Davis. Like, I think you would need to pair those guys together. And maybe finally Conley can make an all-star game by moving to the East. Maybe. Interesting stuff when it comes to Woj and the reporting when it comes to the Celtics. I don't know how much to make of it. I go back and forth so much when it comes to the Anthony Davis pursuit. Do you go for him? Do you not go for him if Kyrie leaves? I'm still not sold on Kyrie leaving. Maybe I'm an idiot. I think, and especially now, I think the KD injury just changes so much that I don't know. I don't know that he leaves. If the Celtics can go to him and say in the next week, hey, we can get Anthony Davis. It's like a week away. If they go to him and say, we can get Anthony Davis, but only if you say you're coming back, will you come back? I don't know that he can. He look at them in the eye and say, no, I'm still going to go. I'm still out. I got to go to Brooklyn. I got to play with, you know, Jared Allen, who's a good player, but then what, him and D'Angelo Russell share a backcourt? Because I don't see Brooklyn trading for Anthony Davis. And I don't know who they bring in. Do they bring in Jimmy Butler? Kemba? I don't know. What do they do? So, take a break. Coming back with some Jason Tatum stuff from his podcast appearance. Stick around. More of the Locked On Celtics podcast coming right up. Tell you, Jason Tatum he's a very mature kid for a 21-year-old. He says a lot of things that are not 21-year-old things. Like the way he talks about being a dad, and he did this on the Jeff Goodman podcast, the Good and Plenty podcast or something like that. Just Jeff Goodman. Just search Jeff Goodman. And Tatum was on that one. So, talks about being a dad and how it's the best thing that ever happened to him and how it was something that he wasn't sure about. But as soon as it happened, he was like, I don't know why I was never unsure about this. So very mature kid there. And he talks about, we just spent all this time talking about a trade. I fake traded him to New Orleans, and that could be a very real trade within the next week. And he's just very businesslike about it. He understands the NBA is a business. And I get it. I would trade myself for Anthony Davis too. And it's the second time he said that. I think the reality will sting. But he'll just go and play basketball. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, he understands that he just get to go. You get to play basketball. And you go live in a city for a little while, and whatever city he's in, eventually he's going to go back to St. Louis. Like, he's obviously very much a St. Louis kid. Everything he does is about St. Louis. He just put out a sneaker ad, an animated sneaker ad for the new Air Maxes, or re-release of the Air Maxes. It was an animated thing of him and Deuce being superheroes, and they had the arch villain at the St. Louis Arch. Like, it was all St. Louis based. Like, he's very proud of where he's from, which is great. Even as the Bruins take on the St. Louis Blues and maybe win, lose the Stanley Cup to St. Louis. Like, and he talked about that in the podcast too. He's like, I don't really watch hockey, but you know, all St. Louis all the time. So he's in a win-win. Like if the Bruins win, hey, great. You know, there's another banner. It's kind of cool to be in a city if he stays in the city. So that keeps raising banners like that. But if the Blues win, he's, you know, St. Louis kid. He gets to watch his city celebrate. That's cool for him too. And I appreciate that. Just for the record, like I don't think a player has to adopt the teams in the city that he's in. Like, I wouldn't. If any of you are listening here and you had a chance to play professional basketball and sign a four-year, $40 million contract that was with the Lakers, would you turn it down? Would you become, you know, a LA Dodgers fan? Or let's put it this way. What if you were a baseball player and you went and signed with the Dodgers? Would you become a Lakers fan if they were in the championship? No. I lived in New York for like 7 years. I flew that Boston flag every time I was there. I'd go down, Red Sox, going to Yankee Stadium. I had an elderly woman flip me off because I was cheering for the Red Sox in the bleachers. That was an awesome moment. Literally, she looked at me right in the face, stared me right in the eye, and she double birded me. It was really one of the greatest moments of my life out in the outfield bleachers at the new Yankee Stadium. It was David Ortiz's last game at Yankee Stadium. Shout out to Ortiz, by the way. Hope he gets better soon. But, yeah, so props to Tatum for sticking with the St. Louis thing. Like, that's where you're from. Be proud of where you're from. If you want to do that, that's cool. Like, we get it. So, the other thing that Tatum talked about was the talked about last season, of course. He said, quote, "I don't know what people believe on the outside, but we had a lot of good guys. Everybody wanted to win. Everybody wanted to make it work, but I don't know if we knew exactly, if we knew how to exactly do that. We all got along great on the plane, off the court, but even watching film, it didn't necessarily look like we were all on the same page during games." Basically saying everything that we knew. But it was wild because they did seem to like each other. They did seem to get along. But they could never figure it out. They all wanted to win, but they all wanted to do it on their own terms. That's what we say all the time. And he's basically confirming that. He's off now to go, as he said, work on his body, work on his shooting off the dribble, working on the pick and roll, three things he definitely needs to work on. We'll see next season if he's doing that for the Pelicans or if he's doing that for the Celtics. We're going to figure that out, and we're going to figure out a next podcast, which I'm not 100% sure it's going to happen for the Thursday show. We'll see. But we're going to try, and if you subscribe to the show, you'll know because it'll show up right in your podcast app, and that podcast app should be the Himalaya podcast app. It is very easy to use. It's all free. You can compile episodes into playlists and share them with your friends. It's a great way to share the podcast. You can also rate them, and all of you regular listeners can rate and review our podcast. Again, a reminder, go check out the Locked On NBA mock draft. Subscribe to Locked On NBA as well. It's a really cool thing. Every podcast host makes a pick. We've made trades. There are a bunch of trades. I personally made two of them, like I said. You go and check out what everybody's doing. It's all the local experts in every draft room. Expert player breakdowns from SI.com's Jeremy Wu and Josh Lloyd's Fantasy Breakdown as well. So subscribe to Locked On NBA. That's it. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.